Right. Good afternoon, everyone. We are down to the fourth installment of our series called Rise and Fall. For the benefit of those of you who happen to join us for the first time here this afternoon, this series right here, basically which we have embarked 4 weeks ago, we have been looking at the different characters in the Bible, different kings for that matter. We've looked at the story of King David and King Saul. And what we're basically looking at here is that we're looking at the things or character or experiences or things that they did that made them or that caused them to rise in power. And we're also contrasting that with the things that they didn't do that made them fall from power. And our prayer here is that whatever it is that made them or that caused them to fall from power are things that we shouldn't be repeating, because like what we said, the truth is experience is not really the best teacher, because the truth is we can learn from the experiences of people who've gone ahead of us, okay? Now, this afternoon, as we are looking into the fourth installment of this series, I think this is very fitting for a lot of us, simply because this afternoon we're going to talk about wisdom, okay? Who am I here? You are in need of wisdom right now. You're in need of wisdom, okay? You are thinking you are in a crossroad. You're thinking if you're going to take this course or whatever that is, or maybe some of you are in need of wisdom simply because you're thinking about relationships. You're thinking if I have to pursue someone or say yes to someone, whatever that is in every day of our life, day by day, we are always in need of wisdom, okay? There are certain decisions that we need to accomplish for that matter, okay? So that is what we're looking at here. But before we go there, for the benefit of those who happen to join us for the first time, we've been looking at the concept of leadership in a biblical perspective. Who am I here can honestly say that you've already made up your mind? You know who to vote for this coming Monday. Come on. Can I see your hand for a while? Next week, next Monday. Okay, you have a president in mind already. Can I see your hand? Come on. All right. Who am I here? You have a vice president in mind. Okay, very good. Okay, how about in our local politics? You have a governor or congressman or mayor in mind already. Okay, so for those of you who are not yet sure, you have basically 1 week to ask God for wisdom. Okay, to ask God for wisdom as to who you would want to vote for, okay, to be in office this coming May 9, okay? Kindly turn your Bibles with me for a while. 1 Kings chapter 3, we're going to read verses 3 down to verse 10. You can read along with me if you want to. Again, this is a story of King Solomon. It says here, Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and made offerings at the high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, Solomon, ask what I shall give you. And Solomon said, you have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love and have given him a son, talking about himself, to sit on his throne today or this day. Verse 7, and now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of David, my father, although I am but a little child, 20 years old. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. Last verse, for who is able to govern this great people of yours? All right, every single day, we all make decisions. Can everybody say decisions? All right, we make decisions. We try to decide as to what to wear today, Sunday. Okay, tama po ba? You try deciding what to wear today. It's not your parents suggesting what you need to wear. I remember my wife one time came up to me and she was troubled and she told me, Archie, I have nothing to wear. I opened her cabinet and I told her there's a lot of things that you can wear, okay? Compare mo sa mga lalaki. Yung lalaki may t-shirt, okay na. Yung mga babae, ang daming pagpipilian, okay? Here's what I want us to understand. We all make decisions, okay? Every day we make decisions. And our decisions could be either mundane or crucial. You folks catch that? Could either be mundane or crucial. What am I talking about here? It could be as mundane as what toothpaste that you need to buy in the grocery. It could be as mundane as choosing between Colgate or Close Up. Or maybe sa inyo, Happy or Kutita. All right? It could be as simple as, you know, choosing what kind of sandals or flats to wear for today. All right? But for some of us, we will always come into a point in our life wherein we don't just decide on the mundane, we also decide on things that are crucial. Okay? We also decide on things that are crucial. Crucial things or crucial decisions could involve what? It could involve choosing what is the best course for you in college. Okay? Choosing between the many people who are courting you. Next naman! Diba? Ang daming naliligaw. Pastor, hindi ko maintindihan kung sino ba talaga. Okay? Managinip ka. Okay? It's either mundane or crucial. Those are basically two things that we face in this lifetime. Now look at this one. For us to make a decision, one thing is very important. We need wisdom. Okay, we need wisdom. Especially if you are a leader or you are an aspiring leader. Why? Because your decision will always have a repercussion to the people around you. Me and my dad come. You know, it's a camp that we're going to have for our dads and their kids who are aged 7 to 12 years old. We understand the roles of fathers in the home. Amen? We understand the important roles of the father in the home. Look at this one. Whatever mundane or crucial things the father decides in the home will always have a repercussion in the family. All right? So by the way, if your kid is already 33 years old, please don't bring him to the me and my dad camp. Okay? Hindi po kayo kasya sa tent. All right? Saka awkward yun. Now, for us to further understand this, as I'm talking about wisdom here this afternoon, I want us to understand that knowledge and wisdom are two different things. Okay? Wisdom and knowledge basically are two different things. Wisdom is not knowledge, and knowledge is not wisdom. My point is this one. Wisdom and knowledge are not synonymous. They're not synonymous, but, can everybody say but? But both are important. You need knowledge and you need wisdom. Tell the person beside you for a while. You need both. Both are important. And look at this one. Catch this. Individually, knowledge and wisdom are two recurring themes in your Bible. All right? Now, let me just refer, before we get to the word, let me just refer to Merriam-Webster's for a while. Okay? Pertaining to the definition of what knowledge and wisdom is for us to, you know, further distinguish one from the other, okay? Here's what Webster says. Knowledge is what? It is an information or understanding or skill that you get from experience or education. All right? For example, in Dumaguete City, this is a small city of, I don't know, 200,000 people. This is a small city with 4 universities and I think more than 6 colleges. So meaning to say, this is a place wherein there is such a strong undercurrent of knowledge or intellect. All right? In short, sa Dumaguete, maraming matatalino. Okay? Parang katabi mo. Okay? Yan. Parang ganyan po yung mukhang matalino. Di ba mukhang studios? Mukhang studios. Okay? Huwag niyo tingnan yung eye bags. Yung itsura lang. All right? Knowledge is an information or understanding or a skill that you get or gain from experience or the academe. Now, that is knowledge. What then is wisdom? Look at this one. Wisdom, according to the dictionary, means, look at this one, knowledge of what is proper or reasonable, then it starts talking about good sense of judgment. So meaning to say, your ability to judge something has something to do with your wisdom. Okay? Let me just try to further explain that for us to understand this. 2 years ago, someone invited me to go firing. Okay? Hindi po ganyang klaseng baril. Someone, you know, allowed me to borrow his gun and we started firing in a firing range. We're not firing at dogs or people, okay? And I enjoyed it. Now look at this one. In this sense, knowledge is what? Knowledge is learning how to use a gun. Wisdom is knowing when to use a gun and when to keep the gun. Are folks catching this? So knowledge is, you know, it talks about the technicality of it. Wisdom talks about how you start applying, okay, what you've just learned. Okay, another thing here. Look at this one. I have here a picture of a tomato. Knowledge is knowing a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is not putting it in a fruit salad. Catch it? Knowledge is knowing that a tomato is actually a fruit. Okay? Wisdom is telling you that you should not put it in a fruit salad just because it is a fruit. Another thing, another illustration that I have here. Look at this one. We don't have this in Dumaguete. I don't know why. But, you know, it's okay. A traffic light, for that matter. Okay? That's what we call traffic light. Okay? Or stop light, for that matter. Knowledge tells you that red means stop. Wisdom tells you to press on the brakes. All right? So these are two different things. Having said all of these things, it gives you a picture that wisdom stands on knowledge. All right? It gives us a picture that wisdom builds on knowledge. Okay, meaning to say, knowledge can exist without wisdom, but wisdom cannot exist without knowledge. Alright, nalilito po ba? Hindi po tongue twister yun, ha? Knowledge can exist without wisdom, but you cannot be a person of wisdom without knowledge. Meaning to say, the foundation basically of wisdom is knowledge. Okay, you need to be knowledgeable for you to apply wisdom, okay, in your everyday life. Before we get to the story of Solomon, I wanna relate this to discipleship for a while. Who am I here? You are a discipleship group leader. Can I see your hand? Okay, you disciple someone or you do one-to-one with someone. Come on, just proudly wave your hands for a while. Palapa ka naman natin mga victory group leaders natin. Okay? Okay, who am I here? You are part of a victory group. You join a victory group. You're a member of a victory group. Come on. Can I see your hand? All right. Very. But parang nahiya kayo. Dapat nga proud kayo eh. Okay, let me just try to narrate this into discipleship for a while. Look at this one. When I disciple someone, my goal is not just to be satisfied that the person is a learned person. My goal is not just to make him knowledgeable about who Jesus is. But I want that knowledge to be translated into wisdom. Meaning to say, it's as simple as this one. You come here every single Sunday. Amen? Who am I here? You look forward to Sunday services. All right? Knowledge tells you that every single Sunday you're here, you receive from the preacher. Wisdom tells you that whatever it is that God has impressed on you based on the preaching of the word or based on the reading of your Bible, you start applying wisdom in your life. Difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge should be basically translated to wisdom. Having said that, when we disciple someone, you know what? We want people to learn. We want people to be knowledgeable. But guess what? Having a disciple who is a bookworm is not the entire goal that we need to have. Just because someone is a bookworm or someone is a Christianese person doesn't exactly tell me that the person is a disciple. Are folks catching this? Kasi pwede namang bookworm siya, pero puno naman ng can of worms ang convictions. So knowledge is not enough. You go out there, you meet a lot of people who know so many things about the Bible. Ask them, which of those that you know do you actually apply in your life? Then, that is what wisdom is all about. And yet, having said that, basically, one can be knowledgeable without being wise. Okay, you can know so many things, but it doesn't mean that you are a man of wisdom. So meaning to say, if I'm going to go out there and will vote for someone, knowledge is not a good gauge in itself. The way they apply it in their life will be a good gauge for that matter. So our goal here is to be what? To be both knowledgeable and wise, just like the person seated right next to you. knowledgeable, and wise, not to mention good-looking. By faith. You know, it is a privilege that we get to do the things that we love to do, which is to minister to people. You know, my wife is a registered nurse. I graduated, just like Patrick, a biologist. But of course, you know, he's a lot better than me. Tama ba, Patrick? Our full-time campus missionaries here, our staff, you know, Charmaine right here is a mathematician. You didn't know that? Charmaine is a mathematician. Okay, so students, if you're here, you're a student, you have problems with your mathematics, just text her. Nas right there is a registered nurse. I don't know if you know, but Tom is a physicist, okay? Well, he wanted to be, you know, Albert Einstein, for that matter. But look at this one. We have been given the privilege and the rare opportunity to do discipleship in a full-time capacity. I mean, to go out there and just preach God's word and see people grow, and that is basically our joy. In the course of discipleship, this is what I've learned. In the course of discipleship, there's just basically two questions for that matter. Whenever I start talking to someone, let's say, you know, I'm discipling Ryan right here. It's as simple as telling the person whether what he's doing is right or wrong based on the standard of God's word. Do you folks realize that it is actually as easy as that? You know, sometimes when we counsel someone, ang dami nating sinasabi, again, at the end of the day, it just boils down to whether what he is doing is a sin or not a sin. Though definitely, if something is a sin, it is no longer debatable. Because the Bible says, if it is a sin, you have to what? You have to cut it off. So it's a question of whether something is right or something is wrong. Now, here is the catch. The thing is, there are things that we do, or there are things that we don't do, for that matter, they're not outrightly a sin, but they have an appearance of evil. You folks catch this. Now, the Bible says we have to abstain from anything that has the appearance of evil. I want us to catch this. I go to Kiko and ask him something. If I see that he is sinning, I just tell him what you're doing is wrong. Based on what? Based on the standards of God's word. Now, sometimes there are things that we're doing that is not really a sin, but it has the appearance of evil. I cannot go to someone who's doing something with the appearance of evil and tell that person that you are sinning, because I will be judgmental for that matter if I do that. Then I might fall into legalism, because what he's doing is actually not a sin. It's just that it has the appearance of evil. When we get to encounter situations like that, the question here now is no longer whether what you're doing is right or wrong. It's now a question whether what you're doing is wise or unwise. Now, there, here basically is where wisdom is needed to be applied. It's no longer a question whether what you're doing is right or wrong. It's now a question of whether what you're doing is wise or unwise. Let me just give you a clear example for a while. Are guys okay with examples? Okay lang ba kayo? Magbigay ako ng examples? Okay, hindi nyo to story, ha? Hindi nyo buhay to. Yung katabi nyo lang. Okay? For example, let's say you are in a relationship and you're not married. Okay? You always stay in your boyfriend or in your girlfriend's pad, or boarding house, or apartment, and then kayong dalawa lang. And then you come up to me and tell you, hey, are you guys okay? And then you come up to me and tell me, you know, we're not doing anything wrong. Okay, fine. But my question is this one. Is what you're doing wise or unwise? By saying that, here's what I'm trying to basically narrate to you. By saying that something is wise, or rather unwise, I'm telling you that what you're doing basically is you're setting yourself up to fall, or you're causing other people to stumble. If you want to be a leader, then leadership basically tells you that the things that you're doing should be above reproach. That's right. So here's my question. Whenever people come up to me and tell me that what I'm doing is not a sin, okay, fine. I just tell them, are you willing to explain that to everyone just like you're explaining it to me now? If what you're doing is causing other people to stumble, here's a good gauge. Is what you're doing something that you can explain to our kids in kids' church? What if they ask you, kuya, ate, tito, tita, what is that that I saw a while ago? Anong sasabi ko? Wala yun, iha, hindi yun sin. What do you mean it's not a sin? It's no longer a question whether it's a sin or not. It's a question of whether what you're doing is wise or unwise. That's why I'm telling us, you know, that wisdom is a necessity in our generation right now. It's something that we basically need. Another example. Gusto niyo pa another example? Okay lang. Someone came up to me and told me, you know, I'm ministering, I'm counseling this person. I told him, you know, number one, you're married, and then you're counseling someone who's of the opposite sex. And again, it's not a question of whether what you're doing is a sin or not. My question here is this one. Is what you're doing wise or not? Because it's as simple as this one. Ah, kasi wala na makapag-counsel sa kanya. Talaga, the last time I checked, 1,200 people lang tao sa church. Wala na bang someone na pwede mag-counsel sa kanya? Or gusto mo lang talaga na ikaw ang mag-counsel sa kanya? Are folks catching this? Not right or wrong, but this is something whether it is wise or unwise. Let's go to the story of Solomon. Interesting story. Okay? Who was Solomon? Okay? Now, again, Solomon was what? He was the son of King David. Okay? During his time, Solomon was considered as the wisest man alive in his time. Not just that, he was also considered to be one of the wealthiest men who's ever walked this earth. In short, si Solomon begotten. Okay? I mean, this is a VIP. In short, Solomon has the making of a great leader. Coming from a lineage of leader, very promising for that matter. And certainly, there are things that he did in his life that were very good. Look at this one. It says here in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 1, Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Well, I'm here. You love God. You really love God. Come on. You won't be here if you don't love God, right? We all love God. The intensity of your love for God might be the same intensity of Solomon's love for God. Okay, the Bible is very clear. Look at this one. If there's a description of Solomon in the Bible, here's the first one. The first one is, it's already established, Solomon loved the Lord. Okay? Solomon loved God for that matter. Now look, let me just explain something for a while. A while ago, I told you something about the difference between knowledge and wisdom. Wisdom basically is an accumulated knowledge and then you start applying it. Okay? Now look, I want us to learn how to differentiate two things here this afternoon, okay? Let me just try to explain this for a while. I want us to differentiate two things here. If you are full of knowledge from the academe, okay, let's say you are a learned person, you are an intellectual person, okay? One year, you have a PhD on something, okay? PhD in what? Okay, one year, you have a master's in science or MBA. Anyone? Okay, meron ba may master's dito? Master's in Dota. Okay, in Dota. Yung iba sa atin may master's in Dota. Whatever it is that you've learned from the academe is actually a good thing. It gives you wisdom. Okay? But I want us to understand this. There are things that you also would learn and know about God that will not just give you an ordinary kind of wisdom, it is going to be a godly kind of wisdom. So meaning to say, there's such a thing as, you know, a worldly wisdom, which is not entirely wrong. And the other thing is a biblical kind of wisdom, or a divine wisdom for that matter. Let me explain this further. When I was in college, I finished reading a book, a leadership book, by the former mayor of New York, okay, Rudolph Giuliani. Okay, here's the guy right here, an accomplished person. Now look at this one. Whenever you talk about leadership, you could get wisdom from this man right here. He's not a Christian. But there are so many principles that I've learned from him. If you're here and you are an environmentalist, you want to know and have wisdom about climate change and stuff like that, who do you call? You go for Mr. Al Gore, the former vice president of the United States. Not just that, if you want to be a learned person, you want to have knowledge and wisdom about taxation in the Philippines, you go for Kim Henares. Are you folks catching this? Now, will I gladly sit down under their lectures, any of those guys? Of course. But guess what? I would be willing to spend fortune to sit down and listen for an entire day listening to John Maxwell or Zig Ziglar, for that matter. There are so many authors out there that could teach ladies or women about housekeeping. My wife would always listen or read about things written by Emily Barnes. What is the point? Here's my point. John Maxwell, Zig Ziglar, Emily Barnes, unlike Kim Henares, Al Gore, and Rudolf Giuliani, they're all Christians. So meaning to say, whatever you receive from them, there is a what? There's a biblical truth embedded in their very word. So what you get is not just ordinary wisdom. What you get is wisdom from a group of people who has been influenced by God's word. At the end of the day, we go for godly counsel. You know what? In our age right now, do you folks realize that our friends can always give us counsel? Tapos yung counsel nila, minsan may kasama pang green jokes. I want us to understand this. The truth is, people can always give you counsel. You know why? Because everything could be Googled nowadays. A 10-year-old could give you a counsel. Why? Because they could get it in Google. But what we are gunning for as Christians is what? A godly counsel or godly wisdom from godly people. And that is basically what we want to happen in our lives. Look at this one. Solomon didn't just love God. The Bible says he what? He walked in the statutes of David. Hindi po ibig sabihin niya na tinapakan niya yung statue ni David. Okay, statutes, hindi po statues. Okay, statutes simply means what? It simply means the law. So it gives you a picture for Solomon to walk in the statutes of David, meaning to say he knows the law. Again, wisdom builds on knowledge. It gives you a picture that this man right here is really set up or cut out to be a man of wisdom. Because number one, he loved the Lord. And the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Not just that, basing on the formula that I said a while ago, if you are knowledgeable, then you can be a person full of wisdom. So it's just really set up for things like this. To be a leader that is full of wisdom. Let me just proceed. Look at this one in verse 4. Now, I want us to take note of this. This is one of the, you know, important events that happened in Solomon's life. Look at this one. King Solomon went to Gibeon, the necessary to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. That's where the tabernacle is. And it says here, Solomon used to offer, look at this one, 1,000 burnt offerings. Can everybody say 1,000 burnt offerings? I want us to understand this. Look at this one. You will never find this elsewhere in the Bible except in this verse right here. You will always read about burnt offerings, but you'll never get to read something about 1,000 burnt offerings. What am I trying to say here? Whenever someone offers a burnt offering in their time, it's as simple as this one. It simply means that they want to be so close with God. Catch it? Now, it gives you a picture that this person is a man of wisdom. Why? Because here's what he wants. He would observe people doing burnt offerings. You know what he did? He started what? Exaggerating it. He started exaggerating and amplified. Instead of just offering 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 burnt offerings, here's Solomon starting to offer 1,000 burnt offerings. Meaning to say, he really want to be very close to God. And this was the season in his life wherein he was starting off to be a king. So it gives us a picture that this is clearly the rise to power of King Solomon. Whatever it is that he has learned, he wanted to amplify it, applied wisdom into it, and started offering 1,000 burnt offerings for that matter. Now look at this one. The fascinating thing here is, do you folks realize that God responds to your level of devotion? In fact, the Bible is very clear that if you really seek God, you will find him. Now imagine Solomon here. Imagine all the rest of the characters in the Bible before him. Everyone would offer offering. Alam mo ang ginawa niya? He offered thousands of offerings. Para aroma to kay Lord. So si Lord took notice of the level of devotion. You're giving me, Solomon, this kind of offering. If you're giving me this level or this kind of offering, here's what happened. Here's what God told him. Look at this one in verse 5. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, Solomon, ask what I shall give you. Wow. Nagbigay siya ng offering. Ang response ni God, wow, amazing. Now, Solomon, what do you like? Can you imagine this? I want you to imagine this with me for a while. Can you imagine God asking you what you want? Di ba, opportunity na to. Di ba, Lord, gusto ko, Lord, 1,000 offerings. Gusto ko, Lord, 1,000 cars. You guys know the story of Aladdin. Genie comes up, started asking him questions. I don't know, when I was younger, it really makes me so excited. Ang prayer ko lagi kay God, Lord, sana makakita ko ng genie. Pag may nakita akong dala, may nakita akong nakadisplay na lamp sa bahay, sinatay ko irab. Just imagine God coming up to you and asking you, hey, Patrick, Archie, Hannah, what do you want? Sky's the limit, Lord, to. I don't know with you, maybe some of you would ask for a dream vacation just like this one right here. Pero sa mga dumagatay nyo, hindi natin kailangan niya, meron niya sa secure. For the single ladies here, maybe eto na, Lord, wedding na to, wedding na agad. God starts asking him by him giving his offering. Let me segue a little bit. You know what it tells you? Be faithful with your tithes and offering. Now, what is it that Solomon asked from God? Did he ask for 1,000 camels? Did he ask for whatever? He started asking for just one thing. Before I go there, si Solomon, medyo madrama. Nagbigay pa ng introduction before hingin kay Lord kung anong gusto niya. Now, here's the introduction of Solomon. Look at this one. Here's what he said. In verse 7 and 8, and now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of David, my father. Although I am but a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. I want us to look at the words servant and little child. I'm talking about Solomon. He comes before God and his introduction, Lord, servant lang ako, Lord. Ha? Lord, little child lang ako, Lord. You know what Solomon is teaching all of us? Humility precedes wisdom. You know, the biblical truth actually applies to some of us that God actually opposes the proud. And he gives grace to the humble. I want us to understand this. A lot of you here are young men, young women. Time will come. God will put you in a place of position. Remember this. Be humble. Your worth is not tied up to your surname. Your worth is not tied up to your position. Future or past position. At the end of the day, we can learn from the rise of Solomon by coming before God and telling God, Lord, I am not sufficient enough. I need something from you. What did he ask God? What a suspense from Solomon. Here's what he asked God. Verse 9. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to govern your great people? Imagine this with me for a while. Here's a young man coming before God. If you want me to summarize verse 9, it's summarized in one word. He came before God and asked God, Lord, I want wisdom. Lord, gusto ko wisdom. Anong wisdom, Solomon? Wisdom tooth? Hindi, wisdom talaga, Lord. He just wants wisdom. Next verse, it tells us that God was what? God was pleased. You know why? God was like looking at Solomon, man, this is the guy who offered me 1,000 burnt offerings. At his age, 20, 21, 22, I don't know what his age was that time, around that bracket, he's not asking for PS3. Hindi PS3, hindi, Lord, gusto ko chicks. Hindi chicks, hinihingi ni Solomon. Ang gusto ni Solomon, wisdom. And guess what? God was very pleased. That's what the Bible says. God was very pleased with his request. So what was the result of his request? Here's what happened in verse 12. Behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind. Look at the person beside you for a while. Yan po, wise and discerning mind. Plus, beautiful and handsome face. Diyan lang kayo nabubuhayan eh. Dali niyong bulahin. So that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall rise after you. So guess what? He went before God, asked God for wisdom. God gives him wisdom. What is the effect of that wisdom? What is the effect of that wisdom? You want to know? Look at this one. The autobiography of King Solomon in the Bible. Here's the effect of his wisdom. Look at this one. This is quite lengthy. But look at this. Imagine a campaign. He comes before people and tell everyone, hey, this is what I have accomplished in this city. Look at this one. Look at this. In verse 4 to 10 of Ecclesiastes chapter 2, here's what Solomon said. I undertook great projects. He said, I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks. Grabe, no? And planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. Imagine. I mean, I'm talking about thousands of years ago. Then it says here in verse 7, I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasure of kings and provinces. I acquired men and women singers. Okay, and harem as well, the delights of the heart of man. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. In all this, my wisdom stayed with me. That's what he said. Okay? I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was the reward for my toil. Here's another thing that describes Solomon. Listen, you ask God for wisdom, God gives you wisdom. Look what happened to Solomon. He became a learned man. Look at this one. 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29 to 32, 34. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding beyond measure and breadth of mind like the sand on the seashore. Look at this one. He also spoke, look at this one, 3,000 proverbs. Solomon was poetic. He would write poetry. Imagine, 3,000 proverbs. Hindi ba man of wisdom yan? Okay, look at this one, not just that. And his songs were 1,005. Composer, talo si Ryan Kayabyab. 3,000 proverbs. Poetry, music, not just that. Look at this one. This guy is crazy. He spoke of trees from the cedar that is in Lebanon to the hyssop that grows out of the wall. He was a botanist. He started studying plants. I remember in one of our classes in botany back in college, our final exam was, our teacher would get us and we would walk all around the campuses and my teacher would point at different plants. What do you call that plant? What is the scientific name of that plant? It's just so difficult. He was a botanist for that matter. Look at this one. He spoke also of beasts and of what? Of birds, ornithology. Not just that, he started talking about reptiles, herpetology. He started talking about fish. Anong tawag sa study ng fish? Fishology. Ichthyology. Imagine the PhDs of this man. Imagine, you know, if we would live in our generation right now, he would write books, man. It would be a bestseller in the academe. God just gave him so much knowledge and so much wisdom. God gave him so much knowledge and wisdom. Not just that, look at this one. Even the very things that he didn't ask God, what did he ask from God? Wisdom. He just asked for wisdom. But look at what God gave in verse 13. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. Hindi niya na kailangan manurakot. Because may wisdom siya, now he knows how to what? Produce wealth. That's the rise of Solomon. But again, just like the other guys that we have been looking at, there are things that he did that made him fall from power. Allow me to try to describe this for a while. People would say that words that people say in their deathbeds are substantial. I want to make two contrasting things here. One is that of Solomon's, and the other one is that of Paul's. They're not really on their deathbed, but they are both at the twilight of their years. Here's what Paul has to say about himself. Here's what he said. Look at this one. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Here's what Paul said. When everything is said and done, he said, Lord, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Well, that is your prayer for your own life. You can actually tell God, Lord, I have fought the good fight. He started telling God, Lord, I have finished the race. I have kept the faith, Lord. Now, that is for Paul. Paul was persecuted. Paul was actually poor because of the gospel. Now, what about that of Solomon's? Look at this one. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 11. Despite all the projects, massive projects, infrastructures, here's what he said. When I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, here's what he said. Everything was meaningless. Ooh. What? A meaningless temple, infrastructure, everything. That's what he said. Everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. Here's the big question. Why? Why? Why is it that this was Solomon's conclusion? If you look at what happened in his life, you would come to understand and accept that at the end of the day, guess what, friends? Stature is not enough. Character counts. Here's what happened to him. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 14. Here's the deal. Solomon, I'll give you wisdom, but... Can everyone say but? Here it is. If you will walk in my ways, Solomon, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. Your days wherein you're going to exercise godly wisdom. What is the point that we get here? I want us to understand this, friends. Wisdom is sustained if devotion is maintained. You get to live your life, you know what, having the favor of God. That is, if you maintain your devotions with God. If you maintain your devotions with God. The problem with Solomon was this one. Guess what? He became a man of wisdom. The problem was that he misused his wisdom. Okay lang yan. I know what to do. We can always get away from this. People will not see us doing this. People will not question us. I remember, I am Solomon. I am the man of wisdom. He misused his wisdom. In what sense? Look at this. 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 to 2. Now King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with a daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, Hittite, all kinds of parasites. Parasite in his relationship with God. Problema yun, kasi sabi ni Lord, you should not be marrying them. From the nations concerning which the Lord has said to the people of Israel, you shall not enter into marriage with them. In verse 3, neither shall they with you, for surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. Look at this one. Despite all of this warning, the Bible says, Solomon clung to this in love. Alam niyo po anong problema sa sin? Ang sin po clingy. despite knowing what the consequences might be, he started clinging to these things. Guess what? The Bible says he clung to this in love. Take a lang. Remember the description of Solomon in verse 1. It says here, Solomon loved the Lord. Now there's a tension between loving God or loving these people. Ladies and gentlemen, when you're given the opportunity to choose between God or something else, what will you choose? Are you willing to zip up your pants because you love God? Or God is just a side issue in your life right now? He started clinging into all of these things. I want us to understand this. And I hope we take this into heart. Your future blessings, I want us to catch this. Your future blessings are tied up in your current devotions. It's now hinged on how much you know God and how much wisdom you apply with regards to your knowledge of who God is. What happened to Solomon? 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 3 to 4. He had 700 wives. Ang bihira. Ilan po ang days sa isang taon? 365. Ang bihira. Saan ka uwi niyan? 700 wives? Hindi lang yan. Sabi dito, 300 concubines. So paano mo isa-schedule yan? 6 a.m. till 7 a.m. dyan ako magbe-breakfast. 7 a.m. till 8:30 dun ako sa kabilang bahay. 700 wives, 300 concubines. Just imagine, mamememorize mo ba yung mga pangalan ng mga yan? May lumapit sa kanya, sweetheart, pahingi akong pera. Sino ka? Pak! Asawa mo ako. 700 wives, 300 concubines. You know, that's funny. I want to share a thought for a while, then we're going to wrap this up. I hate to say this, but you know what's one of the reasons why corruption is rampant in this nation? Look at this one. People would say, change the upper level of the government and things will change. People would say, change the president and things will change. I don't think so. You know why? Because the very first institution that God has created, which is the home, marriage, if that is not good, things will not change. Why? Because if marriages are not okay, then I am a politician. Marriages are not okay. I will always be corrupt. You know why? Because I will always look for someone else. And guess what? At the end of the day, I will have to feed different kinds of families. Now I have to provide. This is just my sueldo. I have to make means for me to be able to provide for different wives or concubines for that matter. Let me just land this by asking this question. 700 wives, 300 concubines. What's the total? 700 plus 300. 1,000! 1,000! Number one, he is the wisest man who has ever walked this earth. I can also say he's one of the dumbest men who has ever walked this earth. It rings a bell. Look at this one. He had 1,000 wives and concubines. Remember this? Ladies and gentlemen, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 4. He was the same man who offered 1,000 burnt offerings. 1,000 burnt offerings are now useless because of this 1,000 wives and concubines. Everything is meaningless. Everything is meaningless. I want us to understand this. Just imagine with me for a while. Imagine his time in the mountain offering thousands of burnt offerings. Who am I here? You've been a Christian for at least 20 years now. Can I see your hand? You've been a Christian for at least 20 years. Anyone? You've been a Christian for at least 15 years. Come on. Remember those signs? You know, a few days ago, I was listening to Spotify. Listening to all of the worship songs in the mid-90s and early 2000s, I tell you what, It's just different. When I started listening to those songs, I was listening to this old worship song, and for some reason, I was in tears. You know why? Because together with a song, I remember my moments with God. I remember those times when I would close the door behind me, I would listen to this song, and I would just worship God like there's no tomorrow. You know what Solomon was doing? He remembered all of these things, but because he wanted these crazy things to happen in his life, it's like him throwing everything away. Throwing every single memory, every single moment, every single deep devotions with God. Wisdom now for all of us tells us not to do the same. We don't have to experience all of these crazy things for us to get right with God. Tama na po si Solomon. Iwan na natin kay Solomon yun. Now, for us, is first to apply wisdom in what we're doing. Allow me to end this with this Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. I want to end this with a picture of one of the celebrated evangelists of our time. I thank God we get to live in an era wherein we get to witness him. His name is Billy Graham. As you would observe, the picture is black and white. Simply because, you know, Billy Graham was known to be a what? He has been known to be a, you know, a preacher to the presidents. Every single U.S. president since World War II had him as an audience. And he would always come to them and he would give them godly counsel. He would give them godly counsel. And guess what? Presidents would listen to him. I want us to catch this. Of course, those experiences dwindled down. Former presidents would seek his counsel. Present presidents do not seek his counsel anymore. Though they're friends. Now look at this one. With every single godly counsel that he has given, I want us to contrast this. Imagine the difference between the economy of the United States before and the economy of the United States now. Imagine the difference between the moral fabric of America before and the moral fabric of America now. Now in the United States, you cannot even say Merry Christmas. You cannot even design Christmas lights in public places. You cannot even pray in school. You could be sued. You could be put in prison. That is what happened. If you start rejecting godly counsel, our life is headed towards tragedy when we start divorcing ourselves from the counsel of God's word and godly counsel from people who are speaking to your life.